The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. This is a very special season. Amen? And it's a very joyful season. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The only difference is, anyway, the difference about the joy of the season is that there's a big difference. The world celebrates this season as a joyful season. But really, for them, it's a happy season. Because joy only comes from the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen?
Amen? The difference between happiness, which appears to be exciting, wonderful, and joy, is that happiness happens when everything is going good. Amen? And we're happy, we're celebrating good atmosphere, good this, good that. But joy is happy, not emotional, but joy is stable whether when things are good or when they are bad. Because joy is the fruit of the nature of God. Amen?
Amen.
So as we celebrate in this season, we celebrate the joy of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
We celebrate it as believers because we did not buy it from Walmart.
Was not
sale. You can't buy joy. It's given through mercy. Amen? For you to have joy, that's interpretation of what joy is. For you to have joy, you have to receive Jesus. You have to receive the reason for the season.
Amen.
For you to have joy. Amen?
Amen?
Happiness is always there. But you find out the strength you need when things are tough comes from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, as we celebrate, I want you to know that all the things we're buying from Walmart and all the things we're buying from all the big stores and all the food we're cooking, they are all icing on the cake for a joyful season. Amen?
Amen?
But the only thing about this season that really matters is that you have Christ. And that's where the permanent joy comes. Amen? So if you're watching and you're listening and you don't have Christ, you are celebrating him and he wants to celebrate you. Amen?
Amen.
And the only way he can celebrate you is as he's knocking, is for you to open your heart and really receive joy. Amen?
Amen?
The good thing about the joy of the Lord is you can afford it. Is giving free of charge. Because he paid the price for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You don't have to have a bank account for you to have joy. Because all you have to say is, Jesus, I receive you today in place of my sins and my life. Come into my life because of what you've done for me, I couldn't do for myself. And that settles it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So the biggest gift you can get this season is who? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you don't receive any physical gift today, you've already received one. Amen?
Amen.
Let's thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm saying this, but the good thing about receiving this gift today, receiving Jesus or the one you have, is because it's not only on Christmas season. That gift is 365 days a week. You can always open the gift and it will give you joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you wait on the Lord, it's good to see our wonderful friend and family. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for you, Ricky. Your wonderful, wonderful angel. We're so glad you could join us. Amen. And Gary, good to see you. Gary is the husband of our new worship leader. So we have an evangelist and a worship leader. Amen. When you wait on the Lord to stand before his people, to share anything, even to worship, is a fearful thing. Because you just can't do what you want. You have to find out what he wants for his people. And that makes you wait. Amen? Amen. Amen. So sometimes God gives all kinds of message. And it's important for us to obey. And during these seasons, this memorial season, those that have been in Mount Zion, they know that I've not been comfortable sharing just things about the season that are just limited to the season. I always try to hear from the Lord the reason for the season and how that relates to now. What that means now. What is that saying to us now? So it's not just a tradition of celebrating Christmas and then the season goes away and we wait for the next season. We want to know not just why, but how does that, what does it say to us now? Amen? Hallelujah. It's a little bit of a depth word, but it's very simple. As I was processing that word by the Holy Spirit, we're in prayer this morning. And as we're praying with some pastors this morning, Keziah started praying. She wanted to sing and pray. I didn't tell her this, but she literally spoke out the message. Without knowing it. She's probably hearing it now. And it was repeated the second time in just along the prayer. That happened 2 weeks ago with Pastor Faith. So I received a very clear confirmation this morning about what I'm about to share with you. And just so you know, what I'm about to share with you is possibly at some point, I don't know when, is going to go viral. Viral. Meaning, it's not just for you, but this is a message that is going to be saved for many when the time comes about Christmas. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I would like to say, if you have a theme or a title, something to frame, to remember this, you call it the sign of Christmas. S-I-G-N. The sign of Christmas. Hallelujah. The sign of Christmas. The word sign, S-I-G-N, is also the same meaning, both in Hebrew and Greek, in some context, as the word miracle or a token, a sign. So sometimes miracles are, you know, they sign wonders. But this word is a sign, S-I-G-N, sign. There was a time some people were looking for Mount Zion. They came to this building and they were riding around and they left. But when they saw a sign later, they knew Mount Zion is here. Thank God we have a sign on the door now. Amen? Amen. Amen. A sign is an indicator. It's a pointer. It gives you direction, gives you, points you to something. A sign. So I want to talk about a sign of Christmas. So we know what sign is. Christmas basically means the advent, the coming of, the celebration of the coming of Christ. The birth of Christ. Christmas. God created this whole world. Amen? And finished it and rested on the seventh day. And of course, made man to manage it. To multiply, to be fruitful. And man fell. That's the fall of Adam's sin. We shared that last week. But all through Genesis, through the prophets, through Psalms, all the way to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, but right before the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, the New Covenant, this whole Bible is layered and covered in the coming of Christ. It's all about the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word is God. And the Word was made flesh. So everything about the coming of God in the flesh covers this Bible. But there were specific areas that prophecies were given. We shared about he bruised the head of the serpent and so many prophecies. But for the purpose of being focused about the sign of Christmas, we want to look at one specific prophecy that spoke about the sign. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. This is one of the most popular signs that was spoken about before Jesus came. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God's going to come in the flesh. So, we read that. Let's look at another sign in the book of, let's open to Micah. The book of Micah, chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. In the book of Micah chapter 5, this is the prophet Micah is saying this. But thou, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting, the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. So we are looking at two specific prophecies in the Bible. Among all. One says, I will show you a sign. I will give you a sign. This child is going to come through a virgin. The word sign means miracle. Meaning, it's going to be a miracle. Because a virgin cannot give birth. Then the other said, just so you know, this child will be born in Bethlehem as in relation to cities. One of the smallest cities in Israel, Bethlehem. The ruler, the governor, the Messiah, this child will come from Bethlehem. Amen. Amen. Please pay attention. Because you're about to hear something, hopefully that will stay with you the rest of your time in this world. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1. Now when Jesus was born, where? In Bethlehem of Judah. In the days, listen to this, people were mentioned, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came forth wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his sign. Your Bible says star, isn't it? We've seen his star. We've seen the sign. The message today is the sign of Christmas. For we have seen his star. We have seen his sign in the east. And I come to what? Worship him that is born. How can you worship a child? They understood the sign of the times and who was born. I will come and worship him. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Remember, these were the people God trusted with his birth. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, pastors, prophets, evangelists, all the people that should know, scribes of the people together, apostles, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Listen to this. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come the ruler, the governor, the Messiah. They quoted word for word correctly what Micah 5:2 said. By the prophets. What God has already revealed. That shall rule my people Israel. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he heard, listen to this, when he heard, he secretly, privily, called the wise men. Called the wise men. Inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. What time the star or the sign started appearing, the sun. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed. And listen to this. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, the sign which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. remember, signs and miracles are the same word. Verse 10. When they saw the star, the sign, indicator, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, that's a perfect GPS. When they've come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped. They had a revelation. Nobody worshipped a child. And worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Giving comes from revelation. Verse 12. And being warned of God, listen to this, in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take this young child and his mother, and fleeing to Egypt. If you don't know where Egypt is, in Africa. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. This was spoken in the Old Testament. It was talking about the children of Israel coming out, but it was a prophetic word about Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody close to you and say, listen and hear the word of the Lord. And hear the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and grant us understanding of the season and the signs of the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas means celebration of the birth of Christ. Coming of Christ. The Bible is very clear to the Old Testament people. We were privileged to have both the old and the new. All through the Old Testament, there has been prophecy, meaning God saying, as it is in heaven, so I have spoken what will be in the earth. I created all things. I finished it. So I want to give those that live in the earth a picture of my plan that will come in their seasons. And today we are talking specifically about God's ultimate plan manifesting in this world through his son for our salvation. So we see prophetically a virgin. It's going to come through a virgin. It's going to be born in Bethlehem. My brothers and sisters, as you can see from the scripture, the people were not ignorant of the Bible. They knew it cover to cover. They understood everything the word of God said. They knew it. They understood it. They read it every day, every Saturday as a Torah, as we come and read the Bible every Sunday or every day of the week. They knew it, they studied it, they knew everything about the letter. It's because when they were asked, immediately they responded, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. They knew everything about the Bible. But one thing all through history is the letter of the word and the traditions of men always miss the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Always. But there's something about revelation. The Bible used this word here, three wise men. They received understanding of the times and the season. I don't know how, but the Bible uses the word wise, and you'll see very soon. Spirit of wisdom, revelation. They received this from faraway country. I don't know how long it took them from the east to get there that late. They saw a star. A star. I want to ask every one of you a question. Do you think if a star appears, it's only three wise people that knows it's there? It's a star. Everybody sees that star. Amen? I don't think God blinded everybody and say only three people will see it and see where the star is going. Amen? Everybody sees the star. Why is it that these people saw something different? To the point that they were able, that star became a GPS all the way from the east. To the point, to the very, where is the child? They came all the way to the very place where the child was in the house. It's moved from the manger to the house. Brought them right there, GPS. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. God used a miracle. And they came to the people that God gave the prophecy, gave the word, gave the promise, gave everything to. And the people did not even know a child is being born. The shepherds knew. Some other people knew. Some people knew. But the king and the people and the rulers of the people did not know. So when they heard that some people made this much effort to come here, they knew they must have heard correctly. They must have seen something. They must know something. So they came and the king said, you know what? If you find this child, let me know. And he inquired, and the people said, it's Bethlehem. So they went, and they found. Question number one. My brothers go through history. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not know him, did not receive him. Is it possible that history repeats itself all the time? Here is a star. Here is a sign. And during the season, everybody was busy, but there was a clear sign and a clear star telling those who are wise, who are discerning of the times, discerning of the season, something is happening from heaven. The Messiah is here. And we want to go surrender to him. Hallelujah. Question number two. If God allowed you to live in that dispensation, ask yourself, I was asking myself, Is it possible that we will be among those that saw the star and saw the sign but did not know what it means? Because these people saw something different about that star. They saw a sign. It was different. Everybody else saw it, but they did not understand it. Is it possible? Okay. Another thing I want to say about the coming of Christ, and we'll switch over. It's been prophesied. But when there's a specific prophecy in Revelation chapter 13 that they said the names of those that are going to be found in the book of life, of the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Meaning, this child was not just born. That child was born with a purpose. Amen? Amen? He was born with a purpose. A purpose. I said to you last week, Jeremiah made it very clear, that before any of us was conceived in our mother's womb, God had a purpose for you. He knew you had a purpose. Before anything about Jesus, God knew he was coming. He had a purpose. It's all spoken. So God has a purpose. And the Bible says in Romans 8, it says when we pray by the Spirit and we pray the will of God, it says God works all things for good for them that love him, to those that are called according to his what? Purpose. Question number 3, are you living with God's purpose in mind in this? Does this season remind you you were born with a purpose? Or you're just living? There is a worldly purpose. There is a kingdom purpose. Who are you living for in this season? What does this season remind you of your purpose? I can go deep into that. That's question number 3. Ask about the season. What does it remind you? So, Jesus was born with a purpose. Amen? So, one of the purpose why he was born is that he's coming to die as a lamb. Amen? A lamb. So what does that mean? God, in his wisdom, the creator of the universe, wanted to pay the full penalty for sin. I've asked him many times, why God, will you come into the world you created? The world you made, you own everything, and you came, and the pregnancy of Mary was busting about. Joseph was pleading from one door of a house, from an inn to another door, knocking, see my wife, it's about to give birth. See, is it possible that the Bible says there was no room for him, no inn for him? He ended up in a manger. You think God did not know that we human beings have lost it? A pregnant woman at the fullness of birth, probably already feeling contractions, knocking from door to door, hotel room to hotel room. It was visibly obvious they were in distress. They've traveled a long way and nobody opened their house because nobody knew it was a Messiah. Ah! Amen. If they came with a lot of money, those hotels will, sir, we'll pay you extra money if you can get out, give you extra money. We just have somebody that, you've been flying sometimes, they'll come and give you, we'll give you $500 because somebody has to travel you, quit your seats, they'll give you $1,000. If he had money, they would have bought any room they want. But God wants to show us the depravity of man, the level of human depravity, selfishness, fallen state. All have sinned, come short. A pregnant woman could not find a room in the whole of Bethlehem. You know, remember the story of the Good Samaritan? I've shared it to you. People were coming out of the church. The pastor, the worship leader, and here is a slain person, and they walked by. And here is somebody coming from the world, came and saw the same person and took the person. The question is, if that person that was in the street, that was beaten by thief, the church person or the pastor or the worship leader, there was something to indicate that that guy is a millionaire, he just has a wrong, something just happened. I'm telling you, they will leave everything and carry that guy on their back and take, because the motive is selfish. But here is somebody that has money, has means, came, stopped everything, and took somebody he's never met, he doesn't know, he lost his own plan, just for somebody, unconditional love. Question number 4, what is our motives in this season for what we do? What's our motive for serving God? What's our motive for the things of God? Okay. They did not find a place. If Joseph told the innkeeper or somebody, you know, say, oh, it's a Messiah, I want you to look at this. I know I'm taking time because we're about to see something this morning. I'm taking too long in this. You say, why? If somebody has told me he's the Messiah, I will just leave my room and let them stay. I'll leave my house and let them stay. No, I want you to know, they didn't just tell somebody, they told the king that has everything. And the king said, if I get that guy, I'm going to kill. But he didn't say it. Why? He's going to compete with me. So somebody knew he was a Messiah. But his throne was strengthened. It was so strengthened that he lied to the wise men. If you can find him, bring him. Do you know what he did? When the wise men didn't come back because God warned them, his motives are wrong. Nobody gave God a room. Herod killed innocent children to show you how evil his intention is for competition. We compete so much in church for what? To the point we dehumanize, we criticize, we gossip, we crucify, destroy people's image just for what? Insecurity. Herod killed 200 babies because of insecurity. My brothers and sisters, The message of Christmas is about love. It's about love. So, I can go on and on so we can get to the next thing here. The sign of Christmas that the wise men saw from the east that led them to that place where the child was born. They gave everything away. Why? Because the Messiah, the King of Kings, was going to come in two characteristics. Two signs. The first sign, he's going to come like a lamb. A lamb to the world. He's going to come like a lamb to the world. He's going to come because he's coming to pay the price of the privacy of sin, self-centered, selfishness, wickedness. He's coming to pay a price. So he came like a lamb and refused to be given room in anybody's home. He came as a homeless person. He came rejected from child. He came as a lamb. And as a lamb, he ascribed everything to man. It's your hotel, it's your own, it's your everything, it's your world, the kings, you can rule everybody, you are in charge, do what you want. I'm just coming and I'm going to pay the price for what is causing all this. So he was led eventually as a lamb and was left crucified, sacrificed, killed. But my brothers and sisters, we're about to look about that is what we celebrate today, the coming of the Lamb and the purpose of the Lamb. Now we're going to look at his coming again. He is giving another sign. This time, there is a characteristic for a lamb, but this time he's coming as a lion. There's a difference between a lamb. The way the lamb comes into the world, there's a difference when a lion shows up. And the characteristics of a lion. So I want to show you the coming sign, and let's see if we'll be among the wise, because we can see people missed it, but some wise people found the sign and the star. Let's look at how does it look in our time and see if we have the GPS. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one, there be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They were very surprised because this is the wonder of the world, a glorious temple, said to be destroyed. And as he sat upon Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, listen to this question. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming again? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? This sign comes up again. Isaiah told the old world, he said, listen, I'm going to give you a sign. A few people found, and later some wise men, the shepherds, all those other people filled their remnants that knew the season and the times and the signs. Here it comes up again, and this time is in the new commandment. And here Jesus himself, God himself, says, I will give you a sign. Because they asked, what shall be the sign of your coming again? See, we are good at celebrating old things, but we don't look forward to what is before us. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Listen to this. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And then, this is what I want you to see. Jesus said, verse 8, all these are the beginnings of birth pains, sorrows. All this are the beginnings of birth pains. So, every time God wants to manifest something in the earth, he uses this metaphor about birthing. My firstborn son. Birth pains. I want to quickly share with you what Jesus is telling us, what God is saying. It says, the first time I came as a lamb. And see how I came? I was born through the pain, the birth pain of a woman. Everything that is born, there is a birth pain. When they came out of Egypt, Egypt suffered birth pains for Israel to come out of Egypt physically. So Jesus is now saying, I came, that's past now. I was a child, that's past. I'm now going to fulfill my purpose, but I want to prepare you for my coming again. And I want you to watch and pray for. He described this principle of birth pains. So he's saying things will come and happen. Let me just use Bomati for example. Bomati is a woman, which is a metaphor for a nation or the world or something. And Bomati has, let's say she has what, 5 children, 6 children, or how many children? She has given birth to so many children. And every time she gives birth, it's the same principle. She'll first be pregnant. And then after she's pregnant, she'll carry the pregnancy. Then after pregnancy, a process begins at the fullness of time. At that fullness of time, there's a process of contractions and birth pains. You never experience birth pain at the beginning of pregnancy. It's at the fullness of time. So, the fact that Bomati gave birth to this person, to this person, to this person, is the same process. So what Jesus was telling them, they didn't understand. See this temple, you see men, you go through series of birth pains in history. But there's coming a time that you watch out for the one that will lead you to the end. So it's the same principle. So all through history, people have always thought Jesus is coming because of one war, this war, that war, this crisis, this famine, this, that. Every time people are always, let's get prophecy out. It's about to come. So people tend to even start losing hope. We've had this over and over. When? But it's just a principle. Amen? So now Jesus said, you remember before the church was born, Jesus went through a birth pain, travail, and the church was born. Birth pains. My brothers and sisters, it's a sign. Signs are physical things you see to point you to what you don't see in the spirit. Spiritual signs. Signs point you to somewhere. Amen? Amen? Signs. So when you hear signs in the Bible, they point you to something. When they say hurricane is coming or something, you see the signs before you see the manifestation. So the wise men saw the sign. So you know it's possible to have an idea of the season. Jesus told them, this time, the sign that is coming is the world will be pregnant. It's like when heaven is pregnant with my coming, the world will also be pregnant. And one of the ways you know my coming is getting close, you will see some signs that will indicate to you my coming is close. So, let's say you lived in 1800s and similar, somebody came and said, Jesus is coming, see all the signs. Assume, take it that way. But take what I'm about to share with you also in prayer. I won't go into a lot of details, but I want to share something with you about a sign of Christmas. '19, that's when the observation started. Things have been happening. But 2019, something started boiling. And it started in China. But it just like nothing until suddenly the momentum escalated. It's like a little sign in the cloud, and later it just turned to a heavy rain. A momentum started by March of 2020. It was COVID all over the world. By March, between March and that season of March and April, for the first time in my lifetime, I saw the whole world shut down for 2 weeks. No movement in the whole world. God was ignorant about it. Shut down in our lifetime. It was called COVID. And it continued over, what they say, 50 million? I want you to watch. I'm talking about the world feeling a pain. That was 2020. But it continued until gradually none of us were wearing masks anymore. So it's like, bye-bye. Let's go back. Let's party more. Let's continue. That was just another thing that happened. So that went past. It changed the laws of nations. It changed the laws of the United Nations. It changed the global market. It changed so many things that you don't know changed under international law. So 2020 continued. So in 20, that COVID swept the whole of 2020, people, business, everything. So now, towards 2021, while COVID was still very strong, towards October to November, Russia started having some problems, and Europe, and you know, there was things going on at that point, and you know, the situation could not be resolved. It was just a lot of things happening behind the scene. By the time it got to early part of 2022, at that time, Russia couldn't resist it, Europeans couldn't resist it, and Russia moved right into Ukraine. Since 2022 to today, Ukraine and Russia have lost the future generation. Millions of young people sent to war, and they died horrible deaths. Till now, millions. You're just hearing 1 point something million in the news, no? The real statistics You can research and find out. Of young people. It doesn't mean anything because you don't live in Ukraine, don't live in Russia. It's not affected your family, so there's no crisis. But it has changed the global positioning of end time players in the world. It has established end time strategic nations forming alliance towards the last days. It has affected the economy of the world. It has affected, it has shaped, a lot of things have been reshaped to prepare nations for financial independence. Global marketing, everything has shifted since this war. Right now, since Russia's war, it's never been hard since World War II that people will be talking about world war as if they are talking about going to Walmart. Governments, Europe, everywhere, America, everywhere is talking about nuclear weapons, nuclear war, as if you're talking about child's play. You don't mention nuclear war 10, 20 years. Nobody talks about it. It's not something after Hiroshima. Now we're talking about it as if Russia throws it. It's rumors of war. When you talk about nuclear war, you're talking about something beyond normal war. And we're talking about it now as rumors. Europe just told their people, we can't hide anymore. I saved it. I took a picture of it and saved it. They are now preparing their people a possible attack of Russia. Because they just see signs. Ukraine is just a fence. So, I didn't want to go that far. But I just want to paint a picture for you. October to November 2019, something started that took over the whole world from 2020 and kept going. October is, December of 2021, something started that people didn't pay attention to it, took over the world from 2022 to today, changed the whole world. So it continued 2022, but something happened that affected the whole world. 2023. October 7th. In Israel. When that happened, that again sent another wave of global shift. The Israel and Hamas-Palestinian war. Thousands and tens of thousands. Horrific war. Israel, everything in Israel suspended for 2 years. Now, when you get Israel involved in prophetic timeline, you're getting close. For the last, from 2023 to 2025, the war just ended. But there's still a lot of embers on the ground. These are global shifts. Wars, famine, disease, global birth pains, contractions. Amen? Why am I bringing this? Because there's been wars, there's been things in the past. All these things have happened, like I said. You give birth to a child, you give birth again. So why is this time important? This is now personal. Why it's important is 2020, May 31st, this house, during that intensity of COVID, we were praying. I was fasting for 10 days, and May 31st was Pentecost. And we're praying for 10 days. During that time, I went to East to close the fast and the prayer. And I had a vision. And that vision is still in YouTube till today. I shared it that Pentecost morning. I didn't know what I was sharing because I didn't understand it. But basically, in summary, now that I understood every detail of it and they've all happened, God now gave me more clarity. The basic interpretation for time is this. I was crying to God. I was saying, Father, you said you reveal things to your people. You show us things before they happen so we can pray, we can stand in the gap. How will the whole world be shut down with a disease inspired by men? How will the whole world be in this state? And the church, your bride, we don't know anything about. It just happened and the whole world is like this. So I was crying, God, please show us so we can pray and ask for mercy. It was in that I had this vision. And God was showing me now things to come. But for me to believe, they have to happen first. And it was President Donald Trump. I think he was in office. And God showed me he will fall. Of course, like I'm telling you, I didn't understand every detail. If I tell you, it makes sense to you. He will fall, but then he will rise again. And when he rises again, a lot is going to be fulfilled. So I waited to understand it until everything happened just like God showed it and God made it clearer. Why am I sharing this with you? Christmas always comes with a sign. Not every Christmas. There are signs everybody saw, but the wise people saw something different. The Lord showed me, he says, when Trump comes back again, meaning he's the one that will put him back in office because men can do it. So if he comes back again, I should believe the sign. So now he came back. So if you watch from 2019, what I share with you, President Trump came into office 2024 November. That bracket of time again, October, November. And God said, watch this time now. He is the next sign for what will transpire 2025. 2025 to now, President Trump is the highlight of news globally. There are kings and presidents or kings in the past like pharaohs or Cyrus or Jehu or Pharaoh, whatever, that has ruled in the past, I tell you, that they were born in a season where God will use them to fulfill something. The reason I'm telling you this, whether it's for good, whether it's for bad, it's been ordained. Because the signs are clear. Why is the Lord leading me to share this on this Christmas season? Because the sign is clear, but people can't see. This October to December, there are signs. I can't tell you now. But by the time we get into 2026, just like the pattern you've seen, signs will start coming. And I just want to say this here because, like I told you from the beginning, what I'm sharing with you today, this broadcast is going to go viral. The reason is this. There is a sign that I want to give to you to watch for. Because wise people prepare the virgins. This is the instruction the Lord gives us. Don't again ever put a time on anything. He says to give you this sign to watch for. I don't know when. But when you see this sign, it will wake you up so that you know this period that President Trump will be in office, two things are going to happen. Two major things. Number one, there's going to be serious butt pains. Butt pains. Shaking. Two, some of those things are going to lead to things in this Bible that we start seeing certain prophecies being fulfilled. I say, how do I know? The Lord showed me two things happened at President Trump's first time in office. Two things. One, there was a shaking that the world never experienced ever in my lifetime. It was COVID. Shaking. Shook the world. Two, Israel has always had Jerusalem as their headquarters. But that was the first time America established Israel for many hundred years. No nation has done it as the capital of Jerusalem. Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So those two things, I'm just giving you parallel. A major shaking the world has never seen, and a prophetic time that happened when he first came. So when I ask that question, God says, during this time, there will be a major shaking the world is not prepared for, and there will be fulfillments of prophecy. I think I've shared this before. So that's the sign of the time. But why did I share this now on Christmas season? I've been woken up twice. Twice in my sleep. And the last one was yesterday. And the Lord said, pray for America. Pray. That's why God showed these things. I don't know when. He said, pray, because suddenly the economy of this nation is going to be targeted to collapse. Pray. Pray. I don't know when, but he said, pray. And give that as a sign. To pray. That's why I'm sharing it. Amen. And I use the signs of Christmas to obey the Lord in this season. So my brothers and sisters, God is giving us an assignment in this Christmas season as wise virgins. One, we need to pray for the lost, that they will come to open this package of Christ. Two, let's pray for America, because there's something that is about to happen. I don't know when. I'm emphasizing this year, next year, I don't know. But what I heard was clear. Pray for America's economy. It will suddenly collapse if you don't pray. Finally, let me tell you why I took this warning serious. Why I took this warning serious. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You love one, you hate your... And he was talking about money. He says, my people don't know it, the people don't know it, but money is the God that has blinded the eyes of the world. The biggest, you see, I'm wearing a suit jacket. I know I've taken your time. The fact that I'm wearing this jacket, I'm not jacket. I am inside. The jacket is just what you see. Money is the jacket that the devil wears over the world. The God of this world is mammon. Jesus said it. The golden calf. I can go deep into that. But he said, I'm about to touch the golden calf so that the just will walk by faith. Faith doesn't mean you don't have money, you don't have job, you don't have... It just means that God is first in your life. Right now, we say God is first, but really money is in charge. God says he's about to touch the world and he's going to turn the church back where it belongs. Because the church lives by money. This is my Christmas gift to you. You can love me. You can keep your Christmas gift. But I'm telling you, you're going to send this message all over the place one of these days. Because God loves you so much to ask you to pray for America. And to be careful, because the love of money is the root of evil. Nobody said they love money, but look at your prayer life. Look at your Bible life. Look at your gift. Just watch and see. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody next to you and say, hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, thank you for your wonderful people that love you so much to endure this moment of truth. Father, I just thank you for this, your beautiful people. I ask, Father, that you will reward them, their patience, their obedience, their willingness to listen. Thank you, Father. You will bring understanding. You will bring clarity. And at the appointed time, they will know you share the secret of your heart because you call them your friends. Thank you. I ask that you go with us and make this Christmas a special, memorable, exciting one. Because the reason for this season you've given to us. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Merry Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas. But please pray for America. Amen. Amen. And pray for the president. Amen. Amen.